Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Shiraz Putin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Recently, the Merdeka Center and Sisters in Islam surveyed young Muslim Malaysians in an attempt to understand the current dynamics of this demographic in comparison to the results of an earlier study conducted in 2010. So what trends did this latest survey reveal? Joining us now to shed more light on this issue is Ihsan Shahwahid. He is a senior research officer at Merdeka Center. Ihsan, welcome to the show. Can we begin by talking about the way the results of this survey was framed? So it was framed as Muslim youth outlook increasingly pessimistic amid strong retention for Islamic idealism. So let's talk a little bit about that. Why was this considered an important thing to note? What does it signal to you?
Okay, first of all, thank you very much, Melissa, for having me here. As usual, we in at Merdeka Center, we regularly run public opinion surveys. So for this particular survey, as you mentioned earlier, it's a kind of a repeat study which we conducted in 2010, just that this time we made the study even a bit more detailed. So overall, just give a bit of a background, 1,216 respondents from between the age of 15 to 25 years old, random stratified sampling, generally to represent the overall national Muslim youth population, and the survey was conducted between the 30th of October 2021 until 25th of January 2022. Just to provide a brief background of setting, that time still within the time of the COVID-19 pandemic, more or less quite late peak as well. And keep that in mind about more or less around a year, more or less so, the political situation in the country generally being seen as less stable compared to before. So I think these particular points address some of the main concerns of the survey, in particular about their difficulties, pessimistic views, mainly related to the economic challenges that they are facing at that time, with limited job opportunities. Those are the main issues which is being addressed most frequently, while at the same time, politics uncertainties was still quite at a high point at that time. So I think that mainly addresses the point about relative pessimism on that part. Well, at the same time, the survey also found that when it comes to their commitments, their attachment to Islam, to religion in particular, it's quite high. So those are some interesting points to discuss as well.
Is there a connection between why people are seeking, refuge in or becoming stronger in their faith and their pessimism? Do they think religion provides an answer to the kind of political, social, economic situation they're in? Or is it just that they're retreating, as it were, from those problems and finding solace in religion?
I will go as when it comes to building that connection, that relation. As when we conducted this survey, so as part of a Muslim youth survey, it would be interesting to know on some key aspects about their religious and Islamic practices. And I think what is not too frequently examined, including I think in a lot of other studies, is when it comes to their views related to Islam and public life. But to respond more straightforwardly about Sharat's question, I think there are a lot of other potential factors that we should look at, especially when we go through a longer time of history over the past, let's say, 10, 20 years. This is because the range of participants within this age, we look into the government policies that has been introduced, the what is usually called the politicization of religion over the past several years, 10, 20 years back, and also looking into government policies. One thing interesting in this survey, we also found that 60% of the respondents within this age, they did attend religious Islamic schools, the various different types of religious Islamic schools, compared to 2010 before, which was at around 48%. So these are among the things which we can see why the trends of attachment to Islam tends to be a bit more, you can say, or it seems to be something like a growth there.
Right. Issa, what do you think are the dangers of having, you know, a cohort of Malaysians or a generation youth, Malaysian youth, who are pessimistic? And couple that with Malaysian youth who are pessimistic, but yet feel, you know, have a strong sense of Islamic idealism.
I think there are of interesting question by Melissa on starting point about the danger of situation. The study should not, I would say, be seen as raising any particular alarms or so. There are, I would see it as quite interesting findings, because when we asked the Muslim youth of this survey, how do they find their life? When it comes to their what we generally see as their well-being, meaning that 77%, quite a high number, we can say a majority of respondents, say that they are happy with their life. So meaning that not saying that they are in a mood that we should see it as a kind of a danger. But of course, when it comes to how they perceive some certain situations in society, which I think these are among the things that we researchers, members of the media, would be interesting for us to look further. One point which is quite clearly, especially when we compare to 2010, is what we usually say as the national outlook. So as an example, the perception on federal government is 69%, not so low when it comes to their satisfaction with federal government. But there's a clear reduction when it comes to the satisfaction towards what this study put it as the conditions of public life, meaning that the level of peacefulness, the level of economic satisfaction, and of course, very high on that one is politics. The perception of politics have significantly decreased as well.
Are there any glaring contradictions in the views that people hold? For instance, you know, acknowledging the rights of others, but at the same time suggesting that they would impose their values on others if those practices contradicted their own values.
So what I was saying is that when it comes to their views about all Malaysian citizens should be treated equally regardless of race and religion, we can see a shift that there are more, the majority of the Muslim youth agree to that compared to any particular ethnic group or the Bumi Putras in particular to hold any particular advantages on that part. I think this shift, we can see, could be contributed to a lot of the public messaging, either from the government, either from a lot of influential organizations or parties, which tends to highlight the importance of unity, the importance of tolerance, and all of this aspect of inter-community relations. But while at the same time, the questions about certain values, about imposing rights or the limitations of certain freedom, this is usually being seen as more of a values rather than something which is should be implied within society overall.
Okay, all right. So really about how they view their own kind of version of Islam. I'm very interested in the fact that this survey is kind of has repeated some of the questions from a 2010 survey, and therefore you can kind of mark the progression of how Muslim youth, as they age, as a new generation comes on board, how they view Islam in public life, how they view Islam as an identity, an important marker of their identity. Can we talk a little bit about that, about how you see a progression in the acceptance or the prioritization of Islam in public life versus secularism, for instance?
Okay, so one part of our study is to look into how the Muslim youth see whether Islam is important in of course their personal religious life and also in matters of public life. I think the interesting part on this point is that what is usually, especially in academic research, tends to study about society as society modernizes. There's possibly a reduce when it comes to sentiments towards religion. That is certainly not something that we could see or we could find based on our study here. Because while at the same time Malaysia generally progresses, the attachment to religion, to Islam, tends to either we could say remain, but also there are some aspects that show that indicate it's also quite growth when it comes to their perception on Islam. So this also includes about there are more respondents tends to feel that there should be further empowerment when it comes to Sharia law. There's also about Islam and politics should not be separated as what is usually discussed in secularism politics. So those are all markers, I would say. The main point is that it's about looking into trends, how things may have changed based on 10 years of measurement. And I think what would be most interesting is to look into aspects about politics, about government policies, and also education that may have changed over the past 10 years, 10, 20 years.
Yeah, well, I look forward to the next survey in 10 years' time, then we can again measure the changes. Thank you, Ihsan, for joining us on the show tonight. Ihsan Shah Wahid from Merdeka Center there. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this. We will be back with more. Stay tuned. Hi, thanks for staying with Shraddha and I on Consider This. We're discussing the recent survey on Malaysian Muslim youth as conducted by Merdeka Center and Sisters in Islam. Our next guest is Hisham Mohaimi. He's a project officer at the non-profit Initiative to Promote Tolerance and Prevent Violence, known as Initiate.my. Hisham, can we talk a little bit about youth and identity? I mean, one of the results of the survey found that 87% of the respondents found religion to be the most important marker of their identity. I'm just wondering, as someone who works with Muslim youth, do these results resonate with you? Does it reflect what you are seeing, the sentiment you are feeling from the ground?
Really frank, I think this is not surprising as well. Muslim is the first identity markers and has been totally unchanged from the survey done by Merdeka Center in 2010 as well. What this means, it basically comes second under their other identity, which is it is second to their identity as a national Malaysian, their race or ethnicities, and in a way, this reflects how much of their choices in public life and personal life will be guided based on the religious lenses. I also want to say that there are other sections in this survey that says that, on religiosity, most of these youth respondents agree that being Muslim is important, and that a lot of them also agree that Islam is the way of life. Personally, I do not see that this is a problem at all. If it is restricted to personal life, like issues, matters of prayers, paying the zakat and fasting, but I guess the real questions is what is the version of Islam that they are identifying themselves with? Is the question Islam the way of life is restricted to personal life, or is it imposed on other people? Do they really understand that there is a fine line between Islam, the religion, and Islam or political Islam that refers to the political ideology of the state project? So, yeah, I think this kind of like opened some questions when I see that the findings are reflected like this. At the end of the day, it's about it's about the version of Islam that they are identifying themselves with.
Right, Hisham, that's very interesting that you frame it that way, because it suggests that two broad areas of which we need to kind of explore. One is the conversations within the Muslim community themselves, Muslims being quite diverse with different notions of what law is and what religiosity means. And we see that globally, right? And I guess young Muslims are going to be exposed to the various ways in which Muslims across the world. And so tolerance within the Muslim community, tolerance of difference within the community, especially as we see attacks on Shiite Muslims, so on and so forth, that have been ongoing over the last couple of decades. I do also, I guess, for a lot of us, I'm interested in what Muslims generally think about non-Muslims. I think that's often the thing that we focus on. But for you, where do you think it's getting much more troubling? Is it in the relationship that Muslim youth have with non-Muslims or within their own community, especially dealing with questions of difference among Muslims?
Personally, I think it is both. And at Initio Don't Mind, we kind of like see that there's also an issue with Muslims trying to, maintaining a sort of hegemony, and that at the end of the day, it will reflect, affects greatly non-Muslims and their groups as well, so other Muslims as well. So I think the very glaring part about this survey that reflects that, the answer that questions would be like a majority of these youth respondents, they are roughly split between those holding a moderate level and compared to high level attachment to Islam in public life. A big portion of them, 82%, believe that the Quran should replace the constitution. A lot of them also believe that only Muslims should only vote for Muslim leaders and only PM, only Muslims can be the PM of Malaysia. It is a form of hegemony, and also the trend that we saw that we at the state level from one of our databases that we documented in Initio.my, there is a very high legal restriction, hegemonic legal restrictions on religious freedom. And this affects Muslims and non-Muslims. To explain more about this, about the work that we do regarding the hegemonic legal restrictions, currently there are a total of 781 counts of provisions and fatwas that impact the religious freedom in Malaysia. Like I said, the hegemony that is trying to be imposed by the state is the Sunni Islam. It is the only version of Islam that is trying that is out there, projected by the state. And basically, the state dictates everything, how Islam should be practiced and observed in public life. And as a result of this, we have a very much state-sponsored discrimination against minority groups to peacefully express their religion, their belief, and their thoughts. We see sexual minorities and religious minorities and other groups as well, like Christians, are being affected by this legal restriction. But not to stop on that level per se, it is because of this hegemonic legal restriction at the state level, it is translated into the society as well.
Where does politics come into play? You brought up political Islam a little bit earlier, and I think that's interesting, particularly because if we look at the results of this survey, we see that interest in politics remains low. It's been consistently low between the two surveys, the one done in 2010 and the one done in 2022. What does this reflect to you about the role of, I think, Muslim youth, Malaysian Muslim youth's participation in politics, but also the understanding and view towards political Islam in Malaysia?
It's quite conflicting as well, truly, because in general, the survey provides that there is a very low interest in politics, but at the same time, when you look at the, Islam and religiosity in public life, it is very high, right? But I think, you know, just to answer that, as a continuation to what I'm saying before, at a societal level, right? When I say that this hegemony creates a very much an enabling environment for intolerance to thrive, it is very conducive to Muslims in Malaysia. In another database that we do, we try to document cases that are motivated by racism and religious hatred. For example, the law under the state, say for example, that is in relation to moral policing, for example, in Sharia laws, it opened doors to moral vigilante groups like Squad Bada, for example. They're private citizens, they're operating outside the law, they're very organized, but what they try to do is they try to raid premises, you know, because it's part of the, you know, preventing vice, or in Muslims, in Islamic terms, Amar Ma'ruf Nahi Munkar. Or when on the issues of Kalima Allah, there are a lot of fatwas that ban the use denominations or the use of Kalima Allah by non-Muslims. And as a result of a high court case in 2010 that allows a Christian publication, the Herald, to use the word, basically, what happens after that, we saw that there are a 10 series of attacks on churches in Malaysia. You know, this is the conducive environment from the hegemony that I was saying before. Regarding the low interest in politics, I find it like super interesting as well. You know, and one of the reasons why this happens is it can be attributed to political apathy. Basically, the idea of indifference to politics in Malaysia due to distrust and disillusionment in the political parties and leadership. You know, cases like incidents like Sheraton Move and the party hopping in Malaysia. And what's worse for this youth is that they see no visible alternative that is better and more effective. I also wish to cite another survey that is done by Merdeka Center in 2021, but this one is not focused on Muslims, but it's also focused on youth. The result in this 2021 survey is very much the same as the one in 2010 and 2021 that focused on Muslim youth. They also found that a lot of these respondents, they are not interested in information related to politics, and also a large portion of them felt that the government seems the way that it works in Malaysia in terms of politics and government, it is super complicated, and that they can't really understand what's going on.
Okay, Hisham, so if
I hope
you,
that answers
yeah,
the question.
Yeah, if we want to think about engagement with this, and especially engagement that will enhance tolerance, respect for the constitution, and the constitutional right of minorities to exist in this country. The question is, where would you start? Would you start with political leaders? Would you start with people, celebrities in popular culture? They seem to be have great influence, according to the survey, over the minds of young people. Where would you start?
I think I'm always like a little bit, how do I say this? I do not trust the way that we a top to bottom approach, because it's a system, right? It's there and it's always going to be there long after we pass, something like that. But I believe that there are a lot of people who does a great work on the ground that try to approach this sentiments from the progressive Islamic discourse. And I believe that Merdeka Center and Sisters in Islam is two of the pioneers in Malaysia. I believe it's to start from there. It's a matter of challenging the hegemony and provide an alternative discourse to the message of intolerances, you know, and advocate for more human rights in from the lens of religion, and advocating for religious freedoms, and widen the positive discourse in the settings of multi-religious and multi-ethnic Malaysia. How do we, as Malaysian, approach this topic? But also, secondly, I do believe that another way to go is to basically, from the perspective of education, I do very much believe in that this is, you know, we need to taught our young youth in schools, especially in topics of peace education that deals with the issues and topics of interfaith and intercultural education with the settings of diverse ethnic and religious backgrounds. But also at the same time, the whole approach must be able to trigger curiosity to foster common understanding of citizens and community as opposed to like from one aspect only, religion.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. We appreciate your time. Hisham Mohaimi there, project officer with Initiate.my, which is a non-profit dedicated to promoting tolerance and preventing violence. That wraps up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Putin, signing off for you.
Thank you so much for watching and good night.